Luke chapter 2. Again, this Advent series that we've been doing for this Christmas season, based on a series done by Paul Tripp. And certainly as we think of Advent, think of Luke chapter 2. We did this in our scripture reading. We think of the angels and the announcement, and certainly the advent, the coming of Christ, was the most important event ever. And everything that he accomplished on the cross and his resurrection, all of that, right? The most important event ever, accompanied by the most important song ever, as we see the angels singing here, that contained, the song certainly contained the most important announcement ever. We're going to look at that announcement this morning. We're just going to look at this one verse. A one-sentence hymn is my kind of hymn. Right? Nice, short, sweet, to the point. Luke chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And certainly these are very, very familiar words. Every Christmas, I think we ponder these words, or at least read them once or twice. And think about this thought of the angels and their announcement here, the song, this hymn that they sing, announcing the birth of Christ. And these familiar words, they clearly define our need. And in defining our need, they also define the mission of that baby in the manger. In defining our need, they define the mission of the baby. And in defining our need and in defining his mission, not only is it a birth announcement, but it's also a death announcement. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And so we'll start with this thought of need. And the first thing we see here is you need to glorify. You need to glorify. Glory to God in the highest. We were created to live with the glory of God in view. We were originally. That was the intent. That we were created to, as a human race, to live with God's glory in view. That our principal motivation in our lives would be to praise God, to please God. That we'd have this Godward existence, an upward focus. An upward focus that is focused on him and his existence. And so the argument could be made, certainly, in that God would be the reason that we do anything and everything that we do, that God would be the reason that we do that. His glory would be the reason in everything we do. And certainly all creation was designed to glorify God. It was designed to point us, to remind us of his glory. And even in this broken state, right, even creation in its broken state, cursed by sin, right, broken, even in that state, right, there's the creation in its beauty and its power and its majesty. And there are things that certainly are awe-inspiring within creation. They're meant to point us to God, to reflect God's glory. They are shadow glories. Meant to reflect the one true God. Meant to reflect the glory of their Creator. God in the highest. But we so often glorify the creation. So often we give glory to the creation rather than the Creator. Consider the garden. Consider Adam and Eve. They wanted something in the creation more than a relationship with God. They were allowed to eat from any tree in the garden except for one. Except for one. They experienced an intimate relationship with God. They were the friends of God. They walked with God. They talked with God. And yet there was something in the creation that drew them. There was something in the creation they wanted more than a relationship with God. We don't always live, right? We don't always live for God's glory. We don't always live praising his name in every single situation. We don't. And in a way, it could be argued that every sin at its root is an exchange of God's glory. It's an exchange of God's glory for some other glory. For some glory in the creation. Lust. In exchange for God's design, God's glory, for momentary pleasure. Materialism. In exchange for God's glory, the glory of having some possession, some physical thing that we feel is going to fulfill us, is going to bring us joy. Pride is living for self-glory. In many ways, we are glory thieves. We are glory thieves. Taking glory from God, giving glory to another. So often the shadow glories, right? The shadow glories, though that which was meant to reflect God's glory, becomes more precious to us than God. And our lives are dictated by a worship of creation that rather than its creator. Can you say that I lived with the glory of God in view every moment this last week? Every single moment? That you lived with the glory, right? You lived seeking to glorify God in every situation, every single moment of your life. This week? Yesterday? Today? I mean, today's not even halfway over yet. It's a struggle, right? That is the struggle. That is the war that we deal with every moment, every day. That is the struggle that is in our hearts. We need to glorify. And we do glorify something. The second thing that we see here that's defined as our need is you need peace. You need peace. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. And there's three thoughts here with peace. Certainly there's this thought here of with God. Right? Peace with God. We are created to have a relationship with God. We are created to have peace with God. We were created that the most important thing in our lives would be our relationship with God. As the human race, we were created with the high honor. We were given the honor, above all the rest of the creation, we were given the honor of being worshipful, obedient friends of God. That's what we were created to do. Friendship with God, that the friendship of God would be the most meaningful relationship in our lives. We are created to have peace with God. There's also the second thought of peace. There is peace certainly within. Within. That this peace with God would allow us to have inner peace. Not peace because of who we are. Not because of our strength, of our wisdom, or our abilities. Or that somehow we have the security in knowing the future. Right? We don't. Right? Not peace in that, but because of our relationship with God. Who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing, who is able. And in having a confidence in who He is, having a relationship with Him, that brings us peace. Again, consider the garden. What a horrible moment, right? What a horrible moment in the garden when God came to commune with His friends, to walk and talk with them. And as He came, they didn't come running to Him as they normally did. They didn't come and greet Him. They weren't excited to see Him. They were hiding. They were hiding in guilt. They were hiding in shame. They were hiding in fear. Because they had been disobedient. The peace had been shattered. They didn't have inner peace. The peace with God was broken. The peace within was broken. And so certainly, right, we don't always experience that inner peace. Often we are anxious. Often we are worried. Often we are fearful. Often we are angry. Often we are frustrated. Often we are discouraged. Often we are depressed. Often we are hopeless. But we are meant to have an inner peace. And then third, peace with others. If I don't have peace with God, and I don't have peace within, it's really hard to have peace with other people. Right? It's really hard to have peace with other people. And certainly the scriptures tell us, right, as believers, as those who follow Christ, that we should, as much as we can, live at peace with those around us, to live at peace in our relationships. I hope, right? I wish that this last year contained for you no conflict, right? That would be nice. Right? Wouldn't that be nice? Or next year, that ain't no conflict. But we know that's not reality. That's not the world we live in. We live in this broken world. We live in a reality surrounded by unrest. We live in a world that's filled with conflict. And so here certainly we see our need. We are glory thieves. And we have shattered peace. We have shattered God's peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Shalom. Which is more than just not having conflict. It has this idea with it that everything is in order. Right? That everything is as it should be. And so when you say to someone, shalom, it's that you have, right? You have peace, but everything is as it should be. Shalom, peace. And we've shattered that. We don't have peace. We're glory thieves that have shattered shalom. So we see our need to glorify, need for peace, which brings us into our last point here. We see the mission. Mission of Messiah. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We understand that Jesus didn't come primarily on a political mission. Right? He didn't come on this political mission to establish an earthly kingdom. That wasn't the primary purpose. He didn't come on an educational mission to correct our worldview. He didn't come on a psychological mission to make us feel good. He didn't come on a religious mission to help us do all the external religious things appropriately. He didn't come for that purpose. We have a glory problem. We have a peace problem. We have a heart problem. And that's not rooted in my relationships. That's not rooted in my situation. It's rooted in my heart. Because my heart is dysfunctional. My heart is broken. David rightly prayed. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Right? Create in me a clean heart, O God. And there are prophecies of Messiah that link his coming with this thought of our heart, addressing our heart problem. The Old Testament talks about, I will give them a new heart. I will replace their heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And so the mission, as Messiah came, he came to work on our stony hearts, our hearts that are resistant to change, and give us hearts that they're alive, able to change, so that we as a people would be able to live for his glory, no longer live for our own, but by his grace live for his glory. Every day, that in my words, my thoughts, my actions, my relationships, in my desires, everyday life, where the rubber meets the road, that there would be something in my life that would motivate me, something in my life that would be bigger than what I want, something in my life that would be bigger than what I think I need, bigger than what pleases me in whatever moment. That I would really have a heart. That I really have a heart captured by the glory of God. That's the mission. That I would be brought by grace into peace with God. That's the mission. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. It's not okay that there are masses of people, masses of humanity that live in a broken relationship with God. It's not okay. It's not okay that there are masses of humanity living for the glory of another. Without peace, without hope, headed towards death, headed towards eternity without God. It's not okay. If it were okay, Jesus would not have needed to come. If there was more than one way to God, there's no need for Jesus Christ. But there is no other way. We need a Savior. We need rescued. We are unable to help ourselves. And so certainly we think of the need, and we think of the masses, and we think of those around us who need to hear the message, who need to hear about Jesus Christ. That the message of Advent is more than just Christmas story. More than just, you know, this time of year we celebrate, we give presents, right? More than that. This is life changing. Right? He came to meet your need. He came to allow you to fulfill your purpose, to glorify God. He came to give you peace where before you had none. And we need to be the bearers of that message, right? We need to be those who have received it and know it and believe it and are living it, that they may hear. Peace, goodwill towards men. Right? That's God's desire. Towards all men. Maybe you have a different translation. There are other translations that say peace among those with whom he is pleased. Kind of this thought of peace to those to whom his favor, his grace is given. And I would submit to you that is everyone. Right? In offering his son, Jesus Christ, he is offering hope, he's offering peace to whoever believes, whoever will place their faith in Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, goodwill towards men. Jesus, right? Jesus came. And so we have this hope of peace is grace, and this vehicle of grace is a death. Stolen glory and shattered peace have left us all guilty. It has left us all guilty, sentenced to death, sentenced to eternity without God, sentenced to eternity in hell. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, took our guilt, took our death. So truly that we could cry out, glory, right? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards man. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards man. Grace, salvation, offered to whoever, right? Whoever will trust and believe. We still need God's grace. We still need God's grace. And the angels here announce your hope. They announce your redemption. They announce to you grace. Grace of a life lived. Grace of a death offered so that you may live for His glory. That you may experience, in all ways possible, His peace. Do you have that this morning? Do you have God's peace? Do you know what it means to be redeemed and completely forgiven of your sin? Cleansed of all guilt, cleansed of all shame. Having a right relationship with Him, that brings peace that this world does not know. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this announcement. We thank you that as we approach the day that we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can have peace. We can have peace with you. We can have peace within, even in the midst of all the chaos. That we can have peace with others because of who you are. We pray, O Lord, help us as your children, help us as your servants to bring you glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.